Here comes the money.
Here we go.
Money talk.
Here comes the money. Money, 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 money.
Dollar, dollar. Dollar. Ching, ching, bling, bling. That's a chatter. You ain't talking money, then you're talking no matter. Ching, ching, bling, bling. Patent pockets. We take the dollar, dollar. Can a damn soul stop it? Here comes the new kid on the block. Hold on your bets. Here's where the buck stops.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Bring it back. Just like how we do it. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn and Joe! Bling, bling! Hey, man. How's it going, you? How's it going, you? How is it going, you? Thanks for listening to us. My name is Joe Carabeo. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, a writer, definitely in the band Monday Mistress. But tonight, today, and tomorrow, I am a podcaster. Across from me is one of the greatest creative minds, mad scientists, greatest cartoonist of all time. Of all time. Her name is Carolyn Bilewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
I'm good, and I have a question for you.
Already with the questions now, huh?
Yes, because you always ask other people how they are doing, but I'm going to flip it back and ask, how are you doing?
I feel like crap. How about that?
Really? But you just had a pizza.
That's true. I just had a pizza, but I'm always dealing with some sort of crap that I have to deal with. That's part of the thing.
Did the pizza make anything better?
You know, it's funny that you asked me that question because really not a lot of people actually ask me that question ever. If anything, you were the first person to ever ask me that question. You can't do that in the studio. That's a distraction.
I just broke a law.
That is a distraction. That is breaking the laws. Breaking the American laws. Can't do that. But yeah, that's the truth, America. That's the truth. World, whoever's listening to this outside of the United States, no one ever asks Joe how his day is.
I just did.
You just did.
And then you said it was crappy.
Yeah, that's usually why. I don't want to answer that question because, since I can't lie.
Yes.
I'd always have to tell people it is.
Okay, how is your stomach doing?
My stomach is fine. It's doing great. Had a pizza.
Is your stomach doing better than the rest of your body?
Probably.
That's probably like the best part of your body right now.
Yeah. I'm not getting old, but I can have some wear and tear. That's what's happening.
Aw.
That's just how it is.
Well, you do lug around a lot of gear.
Yeah.
And film equipment. So.
Which is, it's really.
And also sitting all day. It's editing.
It's funny how everything gravitates towards like, stop lifting stuff, Joe. And now, Carolyn's news.
All right, so we do have the official tour schedule for 2016 and Curls Studio, so we hope that you'll be able to join us on tour this year. I'm going to go and run through a lot of the tour dates so you all can jot it down in your calendar and be prepared to meet Joe and I as Curls Studio at all these comic shows. So the first one is Tidewater Comic Con, and that is at the Virginia Beach Convention Center. That is this May 21st and 22nd, so a weekend show at Tidewater Comic Con in Virginia Beach, and we have not done that show before, so I hope you welcome us with open arms. I've heard it's a great show, so that's really exciting to join up with that. Are you looking forward to going to Virginia Beach in May, Joe?
I don't know.
Oh my gosh, you're devastating today.
Going to Virginia Beach? Going to a beach? That's not what Joe does.
We're really not going to be selling comics on the beach. We're going to be in the convention center.
I'm excited to always meet lots of new people and get some... You know, that's the whole point is, you know, you make stuff. That's cool. But you also got to get that into people's hands. And I'm always interested to seeing how I can make that happen.
Yeah. So that should be exciting. And when was the last time you were in Virginia Beach?
Years.
I'm trying to remember the last time I was there. And the latest I can actually remember was like... a while ago. It was definitely over a decade ago, so it'll be good to be back. So also, right after that, a few weeks after that, on June 3rd, 4th, and 5th, a three-day show, we will be at AwesomeCon at the DC Convention Center, and as we know, that show is huge, and there's lots of guests that they're constantly announcing. Even right now, they're probably announcing a guest, because I think they announced one today.
They did. It was a Doctor Who guest.
Yes.
And if I knew anything about Doctor Who, I would be excited.
If you're excited about Doctor Who, come to AwesomeCon because there are people on that show that will be there and will be also excited to meet you as much as Joe is excited.
I'm just not cool enough to know these Doctor Who things. I'm just not up to date on this Doctor Who or even The Walking Dead.
It is cool to follow AwesomeCon because they're like constantly announcing guests up to the day.
Yeah, check out their commercial that I just directed. Happening. I've seen it. I cut it. So
Is it finished?
No, it's not finished yet.
Well, we will eventually see it and probably talk about it on the Carolyn and Joe show.
Sure.
So, you know, skipping ahead to the more fall time, we have Baltimore Comic Con September 2nd, 3rd, and 4th. That's exciting because we love Baltimore Comic Con. That was like one of our first hometown shows. So it's really exciting to have a convention that's really focused on comics, and we love Baltimore Comic Con. And then we have Small Press Expo again in September. It's the 17th and 18th. Another two-day show, and we're really excited to get into Small Press Expo because there's a lottery process, and we are very lucky that they asked us to, I guess, be in the show, you know, before the lottery process begins. So that's really awesome to be know that you're wanted to be there. So we love SPX. Another great show. So many awesome shows near the DC area.
SPX has been a great show to be part of. There's always great talent, great people that run the show, you know, and every single year it always feels like they're always trying to make it better than the last year. And I always appreciate that. I always appreciate like how they're able to expand. They're not just always like, oh, we need to be, yeah, it's all about the local stuff too, but it's also like, well, comics as the art form is expanding, so they're expanding as well.
Yeah, and then,
and I like that it is comics. It's not, it's not a pop culture. It's not about let's get celebrities or movies. Not saying that that's wrong, but they have stuck with this is what they do, and this is why it's flourished.
Yeah, and then after that, we have the big one, New York Comic Con, October 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th, a four-day show, and that's at the Javis Center in New York. Wow, that show is huge. So if you're there, come by booth 1162 and say hi to us. That is a tremendous show. And also, we already have the date for our blood drive next year. It's called Cartoonists Draw Blood, and it's exciting. It's October 29th. We work with the Red Cross, and you do a blood donation, and you get to meet a whole bunch of cartoonists, and we'll draw you something. So that's exciting. That's at Seeker's Church near Tacoma Metro in the DC area. So we are packed for 2016, and I don't anticipate any more dates because I'm trying to, like, focus this year, but if there are any new dates or appearances, we will be the first to let you know, and you can also find that at curls-studio.com. Everything that we're up to is on there, and I wrote a blog that was posted today all about my Kickstarter experience for Curls, because guess what, Joe?
What's that?
This today is our one-year anniversary from launching the Curls Kickstarter.
So this is a one-year anniversary
of the
since the first day of the launch.
Yes.
Since it was just, that button was pushed and it's out into the world.
So basically around this time, because I remember I did it in the evening, so around this time a year ago, I just was like, okay, I'll launch it and figure out what happened from there. But yeah, it feels very strange that a year went by that quickly, and everything is already sent out to the backers a long time ago. So it's exciting though to recap it, and my blog is like no holds barred. I tell you everything about what happened with the Kickstarter.
I tell you it all. I tell you the truth.
I tell you the truth. I tell you everything, and it will give you some tips on if you plan on doing your own crowdfunding campaign. It will give you some tips, and also, If you don't plan on launching something for yourself, it will at least show you like all the effort that it takes for just one campaign, like mine in particular, because I'm writing from my perspective. You'll see how much energy and time and commitment it takes to run one of those, because it's not as easy as just having an idea and putting it out there on the internet and clicking a button. There's a lot of work and burning the midnight oil that goes into those campaigns for everybody involved. So yeah, and I'm just really excited that it was funded and successful, and we had a lot of backers, and I'm really excited that they put their faith behind me to deliver. And that's awesome. I think it's a really good blog, personally. It's probably one of the longest ones I wrote, but it tells you a lot of info. It's really exciting. So hopefully someone will get something out of it, even if it's just like a little nugget that you're like, that will help me on mine. I think that will be a positive influence just to help somebody in one little way.
I mean, that's a crucial element there. I feel like it's just getting getting that story up, because I feel like a lot of people, when they start a Kickstarter, a lot of times they always, they don't take a lot of things into consideration. And, you know, you did a lot of research and you did a lot of effort, a lot of all that stuff. You know what I mean? And it's good that people hear that story.
Yeah. And another thing I wanted to comment on this week, I guess, is that, I don't know, I had this, like, vision yesterday about how everything I'm seeing online and also everywhere, really, is all about diversity, which I think is great. Like, not everybody is like you. I mean, of course, you can find common interests. Oh. Anybody. Like, you know how they say, like, everybody's their own little snowflake.
There are no copies out there.
Yeah, so, I mean, you can always try to, like, be influenced by someone and, you know, model something after someone. And that's always a good thing, as long as you have your...
Diversity now, right? It's the year of diversity. Yeah, it's Power Rangers, basically.
Yeah.
Everything is Power Rangers.
Or even, like, Captain Planet.
Yeah, or, like, Captain Planet.
There's always been, like, you know... I feel like diversity has always been around.
It's funny because I always, when I first look at that, I'm like, yeah, there's different nationalities on this product and Power Rangers or in all these things, unlike Voltron, where everyone's some sort of Asian white, I guess it is. But part of me is like, there's this undersiding of diversity where, yeah, you're trying to connect with you're making sure everyone is included. You know, you're trying to get all the races.
Yeah.
But then part of me sees the greediness of it. It's like, well, we need Mexicans. We can get the Mexicans to watch our show too. Yeah. We need to get the females so the females can do it. So it's almost like diversity is almost a greedy. Yeah. In a way.
Well,
a greed,
like, if you look at casting, it's like, yes, I totally agree. You know, okay, you can even talk about the Oscars that are coming up this weekend. Like, everyone's like, oh, the Oscars are so white. And, like, next year apparently is going to be so white because all the films are white.
But they're not white. It's so stupid. Mexican is not white.
Yeah, I mean, like, the best director.
Alfonso Iñárritu is not white.
Yes.
Chivo is not white. Come on, guys. They're not black, if that's what they're trying to do.
I don't know exactly what they're aiming for. Like, I see what you mean. I see what a lot of people mean, though.
The Rock is not white, guys.
How, yeah, The Rock's, like, the number one, like, movie star, like, as far as, like, revenue generating, and he's not white. So
now I understand.
And he's the number one.
Like, I purely understand.
Kevin Hart has had a big career this year.
Yeah, I understand that, you know, it's if looks may be white, but I feel like, pardon me, you know, and whoever I offend on this is okay because they understand. But really, it's just they're not black. There's no black people. They say it's white. There's a lot of white people happening, but there's just not black. You know, but there's other nationalities involved.
Well, I guess for what I...
And I put my money down on the line saying a white person is not going to win the best picture or the best cinematography.
But Leo should win, and he's white.
Yeah.
So go Leo. I don't even know who else is nominated in the category, but Leo needs to win. But I guess what I'm getting at
is happening this weekend, isn't it?
Yes, this weekend is the Oscars. Everyone's saying that that's white. And then even in comics...
It's gold. Oscars is gold.
Yes. Even in comics, people are like, oh my God, like, this is so white. I just keep seeing the same characters over and over and over again. Well, in movies, like, they're making all the different characters, like, every color of the rainbow now. And... Also, I guess my main point of bringing this whole diversity thing up, which, again, I'm all about. Like, I don't necessarily want to have a land of white people. I'm not even against whites, but I'm just saying, like, you do want to mix it up, and you do want to have, like, everybody theoretically represented, but when it comes down to it, like, not everybody is going to ever be represented because you are yourself, and you're never going to fully see yourself 100% in there. For example, Scarlett Johansson is white. And, like, I think she's great, and I think she's cool and everything. But, like, I don't think she's me.
I personally believe, you know, and the Coen brothers got, you know, I guess a little bit of heat for this when, like, an interviewer asked them. Did you hear about this?
No.
Interviewer asked them, like, hey, how do you guys ever take diversity, or do you want a minority or something like that into your pictures? Like, do you ever, you know, push that forward and be like, I need to make sure there's a white person in this one. Or, I mean, I need to make sure there's a black person or something in this.
Or a Jewish person.
Or, yeah. And they flat out said, and they laughed it off. I'm like, why? We would never do that. And I guess people flipped it off and like, oh my God, they're so racist. They don't want to include them. Well, their rebuttal is like, we let the story guide us. You know what I mean? If the story calls for a minority or something like that, they've had that in there. You know, well, but I feel like they didn't go out of their way to be like, okay, this one, we're going to have a black person. We need to have black. We need to have a Spanish. Just like they start with the story and they, you know, make sure it's servicing the story, you know? And then sometimes you don't need a minority in the story. I'm not offended by that. Well, I'm a minority and I'm not offended when I don't see that.
I think sometimes you need an orange cat.
I feel like people just want sensationalism at the end of time. Yeah, orange cat. Exactly.
I mean, how come there wasn't a black cat?
I don't know. Maybe there's no black cats in New York. But it was the proper cat.
Yeah. So what I think is really interesting, first of all, is I think we need to redefine the term racist, because when I truly think of a racist, I think of somebody who's like actually out there to like hurt or kill other people that they don't like. That, to me, that's a racist. Like somebody that's actually like plotting, like, ha ha ha.
Who's gonna do it?
I'm gonna like get rid of all of them. Who's gonna do it? Exterminate them.
Who's gonna like execute a hate crime?
Yes, like either somebody that's like hate crime, or like how Hitler like totally wiped away like a certain race of people. Like that to me is racism.
Really, it's all. Part of me really believes that it's all gravitating towards fear. People are afraid to. People are afraid because this, you know, what's the, everyone wants to get a participation award now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like everyone should get a participation award. That's literally what it is. When diversity, everyone should be included. Yeah, they should be included.
Well, the thing is like, for example, to call the Coen brothers racist, I think is very extreme. To use that word to describe them, because like, they're not out there trying to like, put people down. Even they're not like even trying to hurt anybody. They're just, like you said, servicing the story. So when you hear like probably every day when I go on Twitter or Facebook, I hear like, this is racist, that's racist, oh my gosh, I'm so offended. It's like, oh, racism, and everyone's crying racism. But it's like, dude, that's a really harsh term to like call out at somebody.
You know, it's funny because people are using those heavy words these days, like racism and all these things. But at the end of the day, these are the same people who are saying, like, when they put a comment saying like, this is the best thing ever, this is everything, I love this, is the only thing I love. They're using these heavy comments towards that type of stuff too, like, you know, like, oh, this chicken is my life. You know, they're using these overly sarcastic things.
Uh-huh.
But they're doing that the same way with the negative connotations with racism. That's evil. Right? You know what I mean? It's like they're playing both fields, but they're not. No one's using words properly.
Yeah. So it just gets thrown around a lot. But I guess what I want to get into, too, is like specifically in comics, too. Like everyone's like, we need diversity. We need a whole to represent every type of person. And again, like I said, that's a good goal to have. It might not get there, because otherwise when you do something like that, it is going to look like Captain Planet, where you have like an Asian, a black, a Hispanic, and, you know, a white blonde girl and a white like brunette girl and then a redhead. And, like, you really are going to have like one of everybody, and then everyone becomes a token, you know? So it's like, I'm all about like showcasing white, black, Asian, whatever, you know, like orange, green, so many different colors of the rainbow. But the thing is, to me, that I want to point out to people is I actually think that diversity is out there, but they just have to look for it. You know, like, okay, yeah, all of our superheroes, like, traditionally are white. You have, like, Spider-Man, Superman, Wonder Woman. Okay, like, they're all white. Is Wonder Woman technically white if she's from that island?
She's not even human.
Okay, well, she's an alien.
She's made out of clay.
What about that clay guy? What's that guy's name?
Clayface. Well, there's multiple Clayfaces, but they're all usually, like, they all start human.
Okay. Well, I guess this is getting too technical into, like, alien races and stuff, but, like, you know, I guess Superman, even though he's an alien, he looks like a white Kansas boy. So, I guess what I'm trying to point out to people, though, is that if you actually look deep into comics, like, yes, you might not see them on, like, every single comic shelf in America, and maybe they should be there. But if you actually look at indie comics, if you go to SPX, there's like a heavy presence of like queer comics, I guess, if they want to call it that. Like queer, you know, or LGB, I don't even know the full acronym, but like lesbian, gay, bisexual, transvestite, something else, asexual.
Like everybody.
Every form of sexy is like represented in SPX. And I know from like firsthand experience, like everybody's there. And there is like a giant like LGBT like presence at SPX. And that's great because they have their voice, you know, and there's so many comics there that like maybe aren't represented on the shelves, but they exist. That's what I think is crazy. Everyone's like, we don't have diversity. We need more diversity. We don't have any. And I'm like, dude, I'm looking around and I see like tons of different types of people at SPX.
It really almost comes down to, you know, you got to understand the people who are saying such phrases. You got to understand who's saying it, because it's like a person who's saying there's not enough diversity. They're probably just not surrounded by it, like how other people
maybe
are.
Maybe they're not, you know, seeing it.
Maybe they're in suburbia bumfuck out there who's just like all they see is like the, you know, that's not really up to date. You know, it's not really contemporary times.
Well, even
but you go to a city, then that's all over the place. So it's like they have to look for it while other people are surrounded by it all the time, you know?
Yeah, even like I went on Kickstarter today because I was curious and I was like, I wonder what's going on in like the comic scene on Kickstarter. And there was, like, a lot going on. Like, there was, like, a Kickstarter that was, like, a queer anthology that's going on. There was one that was, like, a superhero that was, like, a black girl. You know, and then, like, all of these might not be, like, on the shelves next to, like, DC and Marvel.
Well, why would they be? DC and Marvel are going to own majority of the space because
exactly,
that's how they are.
Because that's just how it is. But like maybe, you know, maybe people are
but
just
they can get a book in there. You
know? And then, of course, DC and Marvel is going to do like some type of spin where like, oh, Catwoman is bisexual now. You know, like I don't know what they're aiming for with that. But like, first of all, also the whole sexual thing, like I personally don't want to know what people need to do. Like, that's cool. Like if that's I think a lot of people like really like put a lot of influence on like their sexualization, and that's fine if that's like the badge they want to wear that represents them. Like some people are like, I love pizza, and then like that's all you know about them. You just are like, oh, that's that pizza guy, he really loves pizza. But then some people are just like, I love pussy, and so like that's what you know about them, you know? Like it's just interesting to that like different people make that their priorities. Like for me, I guess if people was to look at me, they'd be like, oh my god, she loves art, she's an artist. Like, I, you know, everyone has like their one word that represents them. But
I always just, to me, I always get really annoyed when these sexual orientation, this gay or straight or black and white or Hispanic, I really get annoyed when it becomes a gimmick, when it's literally a gimmick. You know what I mean? And gimmicks are not authentic. Usually times they're gimmicks, you know, they're mm-hmm. carny acts. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And to me, you know, part of me feels that like, yeah, the, you know, all the gay, the queer, the stuff like that. I can't wait for a time when that shit just does not even matter, because I'm already over it. I actually don't even give a flying fuck. If that story sucks, it's still going to suck. It doesn't matter if it's gay or not. Being gay, being anything like that, if it doesn't make the story better, it doesn't matter. Because that's just good editing.
But you know what?
Good storytelling everything should matter. And if that doesn't matter in the story, it fucking doesn't matter to me.
Well, like, Catwoman does, like, her... I haven't read it, so maybe I don't know.
You mean Batwoman?
Isn't Catwoman bi?
No, Batwoman is.
Oh, okay, Batwoman. See, I'm, like, getting confused because I didn't even know. And I thought it was Catwoman.
Now, see, I was reading Batwoman a little bit. And, then you know, the art is freaking amazing. The art that I was reading...
Is that the Cameron Stewart?
No. That's Catwoman. That's back in the day.
Oh,
but okay. The Batwoman, the one had the J.H. Williams, the third artwork, was completely amazing. You know, and yeah, she's bisexual and stuff like that. Wow, she's a great bisexual. But at the end of the day, it really had no...
Did it influence the story, like, in any way?
It's you're still in a superhero genre, you know what I mean? Instead of, like, holding your... Instead of now, like, holding your boyfriend or your significant other, you know, the guy or whoever... As a ransom, now it's a girl. It's like it's still going to be the same exact device.
Yeah,
the relationship devices are still the same no matter what sexual orientation it is.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So it doesn't even matter.
I mean, one of my first books that I started reading, not in elementary school but in college, you know, I started getting more back into comics, and I was reading Charm School, which is basically like a lesbian love triangle, and I didn't like find it. I guess it, like, was played into it in terms of, like, oh, it's a lesbian love triangle. But it didn't, like, get into, like, just because that's what they prefer is, like, the whole story.
But
there was, like, more story to it than just, like...
But they didn't make it into, like, a PSA where it's, like,
no.
At the end, it's, like, it's okay to be gay, guys. Thumbs up. They didn't make it like that. That's when it's a gimmick. Where it's, like, you need to read this. It's about gay people. It's, like, okay, now it's a gimmick. You know?
Yeah. Well,
That's a problem, but I just feel like there's more.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's like, it's the Coen brothers' way of thinking. Like, if it services the story, then that's fine. But
then watch, the Coen brothers are going to put a gay people in the next one, and it's just going to be, like, crazy.
Maybe. I mean, I guess what I'm getting at, though, like, my blanket statement about all of this is, like, I hear cries for diversity every day online for, like, at least, especially the past year. Like, it's always been happening. Like we mentioned Captain Planet growing up, that was made like 25 years ago. Like, I'm sure there's always been attempts at diversity for forever and cleaning up the planet and like all these healthy things.
It's going to be annoying if like everyone, every show, every story is like, oh, don't forget to have the gay one.
Yeah.
Don't forget to have the blonde redhead lesbian.
Like I was
watching. Don't forget to have the gay dude with who likes to dance. It's going to be a different level of racism is what's going to become.
It's almost like they have to just fill in the slots. I was watching Grandfathered and they have like his black assistant and then twice, I think I've seen two episodes and like twice that she's like just randomly been like, it's okay, I'm gay. Like, like just to like inform people that she's gay. And I'm like, this doesn't have anything to, I don't care that you're gay. Like, I actually don't care.
But
like,
how
does that matter? It doesn't drive the story. And they haven't like introduced her girlfriend as far as I know yet.
Well,
so.
I feel like there was definitely a time where being, you know, being gay
was silenced.
Or yeah, it was silenced. It was a thing to be ashamed of. And people were like, you know, getting kicked out of families and like they're trying
it
to put that away.
On.
Yeah, it probably definitely still goes on. So that's the challenge. And I understand that challenge, you know, the search for the truth, the search for the real person having to come out, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I wish for that to be done with too. I wish for that to be played out.
Yeah.
Cause it's like at the end of the day, it's like, it's the same as anything. If it's not hurting you.
Yeah. Well, one of our books is Roxy and Dean, and it's called Black Magic Tales, and our characters are Roxy and Dean. And this happened at AwesomeCon last year. This chick, you know, came up, and she was, like, thumbing through it, and she looked like she was interested. And so, like, I was like, yeah, Roxy and Dean are two career criminals looking to be the most famous people on Earth, you know? And I was telling her about it. And then she was like, oh, they're queer? Like, I guess I was talking fast and I said career criminals, like she interpreted it as queer. And I was like, oh no, they're not queer. I was like, we don't really talk about their sexuality in that. And then she like put the book down and I was like, oh, like I lost a sale, you know, by like, I wasn't going to like lead her on, obviously.
See, that shit's racist, man.
But then I'm
that
like,
shit is racist,
so then,
isn't it?
Yeah, it sucks. Cause if I was to actually been like, oh yeah, they're queer. Like she would have bought it. You know, so it's almost like if something is a gay thing, like everyone will gravitate towards
so
it.
Does that with that experience, does that mean like, oh, there's a white person in this book, you should buy it. There's a black person, you should buy it. You know, it's
yeah,
just like,
I don't know. It's
but that's
weird.
To me is when people it's equivalent to when people are just like, hey, I got you this this punk CD because I heard you like Green Day. You know what I mean? It's like, no, I don't like all punk music. You know what I mean? It's like you people can just now be put in these categories. It's like when you're categorizing people, you know, I feel like they lose their individualism.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's what's going to happen. You're going to lose your individualism.
I'm a little bit scared of it.
You're going to lose, I feel like a certain percent, you're going to lose their individualism because now you're just categorized in an equal, you know, into basically a tax ID.
Yeah. I'm scared of like categorizing things and, I do think every race should be represented, but it has to be done right, you know?
I think everyone should be represented.
Yeah.
Because you know what? The truth is, not all races and not all nationalities, not all the people in there have the same thoughts,
yeah.
Have the same things or anything like that. You could have a goth Hispanic kid. You can have, you know, a black person that's really into Woody Allen. That's really, you know, it's like even saying those things, it should be graded on what their heart is and what their actions are.
Or what their passions are. Like, let's say you had a story about a ballet dancer and it was like a black ballet dancer. And so like, to me, like, I don't know how many black ballet dancers there are, but like, let's say there was like an immigrant from Jamaica who's a black ballet dancer, and like, what if that was you? Like, I feel like that would really target you even more.
I think
than
really,
just being a black girl.
I think really it comes to the point of the easiest storytelling device is finding what the struggle and motivation is, and the current struggles that people are having. The current device for characters are, one, females have struggles, black people have struggles. You know, the gay people have struggles trying to rise. So those are the stories that are, I guess, that people are finding more compelling because it's a struggle. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And but at the end of the day, sooner or later, it's going to have to be played out.
Yeah.
But I don't have a problem with it, but I can see how that's an easy thing to go for. And I'm not against it.
Well, Milk?
Because
I don't know if it won Pitcher of the Year, but didn't Sean Penn win, like, just recently within the past 5 years?
Yeah, but was that a Monster's Ball type deal where it's just like, oh, you...
I mean, he was playing a gay character.
You played a gay character. That's like going full retard type deal, but not retard.
I feel like it was a step towards that direction of acceptance.
Maybe because it was also just a good story.
I mean, either way, let's just be straight up. Gays are in right now.
Like, yeah.
They are ruling the nation, you know, and...
But they're not ruling the nation.
I mean, like, they're not ruling technically the nation, but I feel like they've had tremendous advances just in the past, like, year or two. You know, they've...
I enjoy the presence of any homosexuality or gays when it's treated as a norm. When people can just do whatever the fuck they want and it's not slammed in my face all the time.
Yeah, like, why do people have to wear a badge? Like, by the way, I'm gay. You know, like, you don't have to even tell me that. I don't care.
The friends I have that are gay, they're not going around parading it around because it's their lifestyle, man. It's just like it's just like a religion. I'm not going around saying, this is what I am, this is what I am. Just live your life, dude.
Yeah. Well, I think that, like, I guess backing up to my point is that, like, everyone's saying we need diversity, but my opinion and thought is that it's out there, but you just have to find it. Because there are, like, really diverse creators out there. I know of a couple comic artists that are, like, trans. I know of, like, you know, obviously there's some gay people and, like, straight people. There's tons of creators out there that are there for you, you know? And you just gotta find them. And even with movies, too, not just comics, but, like, I feel like movies are a little bit harder, you know, to get funding and stuff like that. But as far as comics goes, there's independent creators that are working really hard at this very moment that are dying to let you know about, like, their characters and all their creations. And like I said, I'll go on Kickstarter or I'll be at SPX and I'll see tons of different books that are, like, about every type of character and every type of sexuality. And in my head, I'm like, there's diversity right here. Like, and it's only going to keep growing. But in my head, I'm like, how come people don't see it? Like, I see it. I see the diversity.
Because you know what? They're actually not looking for it either.
But everyone's complaining about it and crying about it. But see it. And there's even panels. There's panels on it that are like, I've seen tons that are like black people in comics, women in comics, queers in comics. Like, people are talking about it. It's not like it's being swiped under the rug or, you know, it's not like it's non-existent.
I just hope they're telling great stories, because if they're not, it's a waste of time.
I think they are.
I hope they are.
I haven't read every book at SPX, but I know that.
But you know
a
that
lot
subject matter
happens.
That subject matter is going to get played after a while. You can only pull that card,
I mean,
for so long.
Like I said, they're popular right now, so there you go. And as far as like black comic artists, I do remember there was a time, like maybe 6 or 7 years ago, where people were pushing for that too, and like you had Dwayne McDuffie, and a few other people. Maybe I can't name as much as I should be able to name, but they are out there. And maybe people just need to realize that they exist, you know? There's, like, people of every nationality out there making comics.
Making everything.
Or even, like, Fabio Moon and Gabriel Ba.
Yeah.
Or Kenneth Rockefeller. Like, they're not white.
Like, they're not, I mean, but people would look at them and think otherwise.
I don't have, like, a list of, like, every type of person, but I'm just naming off the top of my head. Like, there are people out there that...
What's going to happen is people are not going to be able to tell the difference, man. They're not going
to... That's what I want to happen.
They're just like... They're like, what nationality are you? I mean, like, I'm, you know, I was hanging out with some Persian people, and I was like, oh, you sort of look Hispanic, actually. You know, it's like, the looks will change. That it's going to become such... I feel like even choosing someone by trying to figure out their nationality and judging on them on that is going to be such a difficult and stupid thing, mm-hmm, that it's really going to have to come down to personality.
Yeah. Well, people are always curious to be like, oh, you know, what's your nationality, or, you know, what's your build, where you come from? Like, people are curious about that, but what's going to happen in 50 years, everyone's going to look the same.
But at the end of the day, I feel like
even wondering about that is going to be such a played idea. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it's not going to, unless you have an accent or something like that, it's just going to be like, we're all freaking humans.
Well, I did wonder the other day if Joseph Gordon-Levitt was part Asian.
Because of his eyes?
Yeah, because he has kind of like...
Asian eyes?
Yeah, a little bit of Asian eyes, or like, you know... it's interesting. It looks like a little slot, you know? It's like, I'm not trying to be racist, but like, you know, like...
Is that racist?
I hope not.
Or is that characterizing?
I'm just saying his eyes, like, look kind of Asian a little bit, you know?
It's not racist unless you're trying to kill him.
Exactly. So, but you know, someone is probably going to call me racist.
Yeah, and that's the person that's actually wrong, I feel like.
I was just curious because I'm a visual person and I'm looking at features. Like, if I was to draw him, like, that's the way I would kind of describe his eyes. But I ended up, like, you know, whatever, Googling what his heritage was, and it turns out that he's just Jewish. So, I guess,
there you go.
I mean, I don't think he has any Asian in him, but his eyes, you know, look like a little bit Asian. But I was just curious, you know, I'm not, like, out there to kill people, because, like, whatever, I'm just there, like, I mean, part of being a cartoonist is you have to analyze people, and, like, in a way, you do have to categorize people. You have to be like, oh, this person's tan. Oh, this person has braids, you know, whatever. You know, it's just, like, accessories. That's you're just making people, that's how they look. They have glasses. Oh, he has a nose ring. You know, like, it's just, that's all it's about. I'm not trying to, like, be racist about it. Because now I feel, like, overly sensitive about, like, oh my god, I said that Joseph Gordon-Levitt has Asian eyes. Like, now somebody's out to get me, you know? Like,
yeah, see, that's the part, like, that I really dislike. Is, like, now we can't say anything... And this person's going to get hurt because people are going to be misunderstanding things. Really what happens is when people just misunderstand and they don't communicate, these are when these offenses happen. And they're never known to give them the chance to fix anything or anything like that. And it just words spread and more he said, she said goes out in line. And then the internet is how the internet is and all just talking trash. And no one knows where it all came from. And then you have World War III again.
Oh, gosh. That would be crazy.
Bomb the whole planet. That's the only solution, they said.
I guess, you know, what it comes down to is, like, whatever category or whatever, like, words, adjectives you want to describe yourself, then there is a book out there for you. There is a film out there for you. There's a character out there for you. And if there's not, then make one.
Exactly. With anything.
Yes.
Anything. Anything you think, you know, as long as it's all positive, you're not trying to destroy anybody. If there's something that you want to have changed and fixed, go try it.
Yeah, I was so passionate with that emotion that I lost, like, some saliva in my mouth and now it's, like, completely dry. But
at least for me, that's the way I see it. And that's the way I feel, like, even when I'm making music or when I'm making stories, it's like, what do I want to see?
Yeah.
That's the question I always ask. What do I want to see? What do I want to hear? What do I want to have happen? It has to go through what I want to first. You know what I mean? And what's my experiences? That's the only way I can do it. And you know, sometimes if I'm not going to include hip hop or rap because I don't really have that. That's not my. That's not where I'm taking it. Yeah. Know?
So like,
I can have maybe later if I feel like it, and I do my research and have that. But you got to find out what I want first. Yeah. What I want to get out of this.
Yeah. So.
Or else no one else is going to look towards what I want.
Exactly. So I guess, you know, like I said, if you're complaining that you don't see your representation out there, I say go make it. Because that's, like, to me, that's, like, a positive thing. It's like, well, then if it's not represented, then you can be the person to create it. Like, that's awesome. I think that's really good.
So we are definitely moving into, I feel like, a more diverse world.
I mean, even with Barbie now, that Barbie has different shapes.
Yeah.
And even American Girl just released, like, a black girl.
And this is, to me...
I think they've already had one before, but now, like, they have a new one.
Like what I was saying before, it is smart to try to expand and reach as many people you can to connect with your product, your story, or anything like that. That's good. As long as it works and it doesn't feel forced, I think people can connect with it, you know?
Yeah.
The forcing part is when... It really just, people will just reject it. And they Roman Reigns it, you know? When it really gets forced, the idea gets forced, no one's going to like it. So if you can make it organic, if I can accept it to be organic, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like really I watched like The Witch yesterday, you know? A great like a psychological horror, you know, witch trials type horror film. And it was all white people. Did I have a problem? No. I mean, there was witches in it. Black magics.
But isn't, like, during the Salem witch trials, wasn't that mostly white people anyway?
Yeah.
So that was, like, being authentic to the time period.
Exactly. You don't need to throw in something that's not needed, right? Just because.
Yeah. Yeah, I see now a lot on TV, like, there's, even when casting, there's, like, one of each person, and I can tell, like, they're just filling the slots.
They're just filling those slots, but if it works organically, it's great, but if it feels forced, then there's a fault in that. And that's the greatest thing, it's like, you know, if we're doing a period piece from back in the day, and there's, you know, if it has to fit the time, that's fine. But if you're, if you have motivation where, hell, if you want to see two girls together, write that story. If you if that's what you want to see, put that out.
Or two guys.
Or two guys.
Or three guys.
Yeah. Or a whole basketball team. Whatever. Yeah. That's just how it is.
That's
if that's
what
the story.
People want to see.
That's diversity to me, right?
Give the people what they want.
Or give first what you want because you're the one that's going to have to create that. You're going to have to live with that. You're going to have to live with those actions in your work. Just like how I have to live with every word I say on this podcast, you'd have to live as a creator. Live whatever story and thing that you make out there because your name's attached to it.
Yeah.
Bada bing.
And I think, like, in the future, you know, things are going to continue to get better and better and better with everybody. And hopefully everybody's more accepting.
I don't know if it's going to get... I don't know what better is going to be, but it's definitely going to be changing.
Well, see, for example, like...
is better? And would it be better? The same bitching and moaning is still going to happen, isn't it?
I think people are still going to complain, but I think people will be more tolerant of people that are different than them.
No, but here's the thing. People are always going to bitch and complain about anything.
Depends how you're raised.
No, I feel like this day and age, people are going to bitch and complain about anything. Because then there's going to come a point where
my Wi-Fi went down for 5 minutes.
But also, like, the problem I see is people feel the need that they have to talk, and the only thing they can talk about is bitching and complaining because another person's bitching and complaining. And they're like, well, I want to bitch and complain too. Why am I not allowed to bitch and complain?
Misery loves company.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited, though, about, like, seeing and hearing about everyone's new stories or new superheroes that will come, and I think it'll be great. I'm excited about this, like, whole diversity thing, but you're right, about it being really forced. Like, even...
Yeah, remember, also, it doesn't always have to be about superheroes, either.
Well, yeah, I'm just naming that, because that's mainstream, but as far as, like... Even at SPX, as far as, like, the diversity of comic storytelling, like, you could have, like, a diary comic, or you could have, like, a food journal recipe comic, you know, or stuff I ate this year. I don't know, like, there's a lot of diversity as far as story goes that doesn't even, like, have anything to do with sexuality or race. But, yeah, there's a lot of comics out there besides just superheroes. I think that that's, like... a bigger issue that we should all concentrate on instead of race and sexuality. I feel like people need to know that there is more to comics than superheroes, because a lot of people just think of, like, Biff, Bam, Boom, Batman, Superman.
Well, I guess that's what people connect with a lot of times, too.
And because, like, of the movies, too.
Yeah.
But there is, like, so much more out there.
But I've never really always been a superhero person anyway. I think that's the misconception people get of me. It's like, you're into comics, you're really into superheroes. I always get, like, links. People always send me links about, like, check out the superhero thing. And I'm like, dude, I'm a crime comic person, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah. Like, that's how people are. That's another level of racism, isn't it?
It is.
That's being comic book racist to me.
You know, if somebody's going to be racist to me, not like anyone's out there to kill me, hopefully. But... even people can look at me and be like, oh, she's just a little girl. Like, I feel like I get that a lot, even if they don't say it to my face.
She just wants the kids' tunes.
Or, yeah. I mean, I guess comics-wise, but I'm saying, like, even, like, if I just walk down the street, like, I have a feeling that people think I'm, like, still in college or something. Like, I'm not knowledgeable, or I'm just some white chick.
Yeah.
And I'm not the
some white chick.
Yeah, or, like, I'm not the type that's, like, holding a Starbucks or something that's just, like, talking about, like... my pumpkin latte or whatever, like a basic, you know, chick. But I don't know what people think about me, but it would be cool if, like, you had
really
some
cares?
Mind reading thing that was like, you know, you just, like, walk by somebody on the street and they're
you don't
just
want
like,
that you don't want that
what if they're just like gonna talk shit about me?
No, you just don't want to hear other people's thoughts.
I don't know, that's true. I don't,
you don't
actually
want to hear, because if you can hear other people's thoughts, then literally it's like we have nothing to ourselves.
Yeah, I don't, you're right, I don't want that. But I'm just saying, I always get this impression that, like, people just think I'm, like, a little girl. And maybe, you know, maybe I am. But it's just, I feel like people don't take me, like, as serious as they should. And whereas, like, guys, though, like, I feel like they're always usually taken really seriously. But with girls, it's just like, oh, you're just some girl.
It's usually the guys making that assumption, too, isn't it?
Yeah. And, like, or they won't, like, trust a woman's opinion until she's, like, over 50. Even, okay, so there's this new show that came out on Comedy Central. And I've been following this comedian's career for a while. Her name is Nikki Glaser. And she just got her new show called Not Safe. And on the last episode, she basically, it's like, what's that taxi cab show where they, like, give people questions and they pick them up in the taxi cab? Do you know
Taxi Cab Confessions? Is that what
it's not confessions, but it was, like, something where they earned money. Like, they had to be, like, name a state capital or something. It was basically, like, Jeopardy in, or, like, Trivial Pursuit in a cab. But what she did is picked up guys that were coming from a strip club, and she asked them questions about women. And one of the questions was name women over age 50. The sad thing is the only woman that all these guys could name was Hillary Clinton. And I'm like, dude, there's
not Helen Mirren,
Oprah. Like, there's, I mean, I don't know. There's tons. I'm not going to sit here and, like, name them, but I'm
not
just
Martha Stewart.
There's, like, so many. And, like, and then they started
Did
naming.
They had to do it in a certain amount of time.
Yeah. I think they had a timer on it. And then,
oh, that's tough then.
But then also,
and any time when it's, like, a timer, you're always like, who's.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes you nervous. But also they had, like, they started naming, like, women who died. Like, I can't remember the examples, but, like, Martha Washington or something. Like, it was just like, oh, she's not alive. She has to be living. And then Nikki lowered the age to, like, 40 because guys still weren't getting anything beyond Hillary Clinton. It's just kind of sad because I'm
Sophia
like.
Sophia Varga.
So I'm like, basically, is she over 50?
So over 40.
Well, over 50 was the first question. But yeah, I guess if you're doing over 40. Madonna. Like, I don't know. There's just, like, so many options. And it made me kind of sad. Because I was like, basically, in a way, in some small shimmer of a way, it's kind of like women's lives are over after 25. Like, I've heard so many guys being like, over 25, I don't care. You know, like, and so now even over 50, it's like you're not even remembered.
Yeah, but Gillian Anderson is pretty awesome.
I mean, yeah, there are lots of awesome women out there, but isn't it sad? Like, that segment just showed me how, like, of course she's interviewing kind of, like, the lower end of the male spectrum.
Just some douchebags in a cab after a club, right?
Yeah. But, like, you'd think that they could name, like, at least 10. I don't know.
I mean, it's tough naming 10.
Or even 5.
If you're not even paying attention to them, I feel like you would have had to follow them and known what their age is.
Okay, Joe.
Like, their age would have had to have been, like, put over beforehand.
Name 5 guys over age 50.
5 guys over age 50? I don't know.
Yes, right now. Go.
Santa Claus.
Sean Connery. Harrison Ford.
Bill Clinton. George Bush.
Just go through all the presidents. Obama.
Barack Obama.
Vince Gill.
Bernie Sanders.
Oh my god, like,
Donald Trump,
like, oh god. I'm just saying, like, you could name, like, a whole bunch of guys over age 50, like Sir Ian McKellen. Just name
well,
any
here's the
like
thing, though.
Older Fem- actor.
Yeah, here's the thing though, females don't really reveal their age though, so it's sort of tricky sometimes.
I'm just saying, why is it so easy to name, like, older dudes and can't name older women?
Like you said, because I guess it's okay to be older guy than older girl, so older women will not reveal their age.
Betty White.
What about Betty White?
She's older than 50.
Older than 50? Well, yeah.
What about Connie Chung?
I don't know. How old is she?
She's
I don't even
probably
know how,
older than
see,
50.
A lot of times I don't even know the ages of these women anyway.
Jane Fonda.
From the ages of, like, 17 to, like yeah, just starts at 17 and you don't know what age they are anymore.
So 17 to, like, how old?
Exactly.
Like
to whatever.
17 to 80.
Until they
like
make a big change.
I don't know.
Until
man.
They definitely can't play 17 anymore.
Donatella Versace.
Yeah, when they look like a like leather face, that's when you're like, they're pretty old.
Oh my god. What a great podcast.
But they don't want to look like that though. Everyone wants to look spirited and fresh. So by saying 50, then that definitely means old. And these guys who you named older 50, they look old. They don't look young. But women want to be fresh, though, don't they?
Uh-huh.
So if they reveal that secret number, then they shame themselves. And then they lose work. When they get fired.
Well, they lose work after age 25.
Yeah. Unless they're, like, in a position of power.
Well, that's how sad it is, dude. That's all I have to say about
it. It's changing. You got to bring a problem to the forefront for it to be solved, right?
And that's why I'm glad Nikki did in such, like, a fun way. Don't you see like what that segment did? It was awesome.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
A plus, Nikki Glaser.
Good job, Nikki. Check our show out. This show is brought to you by Stray Productions. Check them out at strayproductions.com. Check out my work and my website, joecarbeo.com. Go astray.tumblr.com. Also, one-shots.com. Also, my band's new website, mondaymistress.com, bringing you some new stuff. Stay tuned for some shows. What do you got, Carolyn?
Yes, I have a comic strip called Curls. You can read it at curls-studio.com/curls. I also have a website. It's carolynbelefsky.com. Check out all the recent blogs. I also wrote a blog about the sleepover I did at National Archives. That was really fun. And I'm on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can look up my name. It's at Carolyn Belefsky handle.
That's right. Again, carolynandjoeshow.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio. We're more than just a podcast. We are now a lifestyle.
Leave us a review.
Yeah.
Apparently, that's how people get higher rankings on these things, which we don't really promote, but
sure,
if you can,
sure,
leave us a review.
But thanks for listening, everybody.
5 stars, baby.
That's right. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.
Good night.